I would like to read a different passage than what is in our bulletin. We are going to address the passage in John, but I think I'd like to read a more traditional verse. Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 11. Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 11. Then we will go to the Gospel according to John in our study and look at the words of the Lord Jesus in chapter 16, verse 16 to 24. Follow as I read. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Father, bless the message. And again, we lift up our sister Irene. May all be well. Be with the doctors again. And be with us as we meditate upon your word. Help us, Lord, to truly get into the proper spirit of Christmas. We recognize the joy emanates from the Son of God, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Bless us all. To this end, hide me behind the cross, Father, as the message is being preached. And may the Holy Spirit truly be our teacher. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. I'm sure that some of us heard in the news recently that the Washington, D.C. Metro is currently being sued for rejecting a Christmas advertisement because of its promotion of Christmas. Never thought I'd live to see the likes of this. When Catholics wanted to put a Christmas message, an ad, on public buses and kiosks in the Washington, D.C. area, they were told by the Metro Department they could not. First Baptist Church pastor, who is very well known in that area and actually is a commentary on Fox Network, Robert Jeffries, he said that the D.C. Metro is not only adding to the war against Christmas, but on Christianity at large. The advertisement showed an illustration of shepherds and sheep walking under the Star of David with the phrase, quote, find the perfect gift written across it. And that was supposed to be placed on the Metro buses. How many have heard this story? Just a few. Yes. Jeffries, Pastor Jeffries, said that he sees no harm in the advertisement, I do not either, and that it only encourages Americans to go to church on Christmas and to find the most perfect gift. That inspired me as a pastor to put on our walkway sign, give the perfect gift. That is taken from 1 Corinthians, where Paul speaks to the church at Corinth and states that Jesus Christ is God's unspeakable gift. Amen? And that truly should be something we all want to give. Sad that the world that we live in wants to take Christ out of Christmas. The world needs to find joy and rejoice in the God of heaven who loves us. He loves all people. We know that. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish,
but have everlasting life. Joy emanates from knowing Christ and knowing Him as your Savior. He came, yes, into the world to save people from their sins. And we ultimately come to the fact that we are a sinner. And until you recognize that you are a sinner, you'll never be humbled under the mighty hand of God. God desires that we understand repentance and that we need to be saved and that Jesus Christ came to be our Savior. Yes, He came to save the world from sin. The world is comprised of people, individuals, and each of us need to make that decision for oneself. Now, I know most of you here this morning, and I know your testimonies, and I know that there came a time in your life where you received Christ as your Savior. And you can fully understand the joy of Christmas. Joy in the Bible is a virtue. We tend, I think, sometimes to equate happiness with a joy. Now, you need to listen to me carefully, because it's very important, especially if you're not saved. Especially if you don't have that joy that comes from knowing Christ. If you don't have a joy that comes from being related to the Heavenly Father, and you're trying to find it in earthly things and the accolades of the world, you'll never find true happiness that way. The world will tell you to go there, but you'll never find it there. See, we, again, tend to equate happiness with joy, but they are two totally different ideas because they each emanate from different sources. One comes from the world around us, and the other originates directly from the Spirit of the living God in us. Amen? See, when you get saved, God imparts to you His Spirit, His Holy Spirit. And I'm making this up. This is God's Word. Ephesians 1:13, Ephesians 4:30, and many other passages in the Bible refer to the fact that once we acknowledge Christ as the Savior, He brings a joy, an unspeakable joy, because He is an unspeakable gift. Happiness, if we're honest, is conditioned by and often dependent upon what's happening in my environment. Am I right? Yeah. If people treat me good and if things are going well, then I'm happy. If my circumstances aren't favorable, then I'm unhappy. But even in that, we can still have joy. Joy transcends the events, disasters, whatever that may plague you as God's children. Joy is a divine dimension of living that is not shackled by one's circumstances. And I think what happens during the Christmas season is we get shackled by what the world offers and we fall into the trap and then it robs us of joy. Because we're not focused on where joy truly comes from. Christmas is about Christ. You know, I don't care what the world says. And don't be duped by folks that tell you, oh, it's about the holidays. No, in the United States of America, Christmas is a national holiday recognized by the federal government. If you don't believe it, try going to the post office on Monday. Okay? And so why are we trying in our society to take Christ out of what is a national holiday? Jesus Christ is acknowledged and recognized by the world Yes, I understand. As I said in my sermon last week, many look at him as a great man, a great humanitarian, a tremendous prophet, a man of miracles. But you, God's children, know from the Spirit that is within you that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh, God become man. That's what Christmas is about. The incarnation of the eternal, existing, second person of the Trinity. Anything less, He is not God. God sent His Son, yes, to be the Savior, and to bring joy in all of our hearts. You'll never really truly understand that kind of joy until you accept Him as your Savior. You know, the word joy itself, or a form of it, like rejoice, occurs 165 times in 155 verses of the King James Bible. Listen, that is pretty significant. The Hebrew word for joy means to leap or to spin about with pleasure. Not because of one's circumstances, but because of where that joy emanates. In the New Testament, the Greek word refers to gladness, blessing. And by the way, for those who are students of the Word of God, you know that in Galatians chapter 5 and 6, joy is one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, to have the fruit of joy to ripen, as it were, in our lives, we have to recognize the journey that's involved in getting there. And that is a deep understanding of where joy emanates. It takes time, it takes diligence, patience, and hard work to make a grapevine produce grapes. I know a little bit about this because my father did plenty of that. And it's the same with the fruit of the Holy Spirit. So many of us think, oh, okay, we get saved, I don't have to do anything else, it's all just going to come to me. Does it? No. On Thursday night, I shared with Paul that, you know, God created us in His image. Okay? We recognize, as students of the Bible, that God has existed in a relational community for all time and eternity. And the Bible speaks in the book of Genesis, which, by the way, the children are going to speak to you tonight about that and tie it right into the Nativity. But getting back to that we were created in His image. God is a trichotomy. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You are a trichotomy. You are body, that's this flesh. Soul, that's who you are. Mental capacity to think, to have a will, to have a personality, and spirit. But you know, in the world in which we live, we pretty much are focused on feeding our what? Flesh. Now, you understand if you don't what's going to happen, right? You're going to become malnourished, you're going to get sick, and if you continue to go that path, you're going to die. And the same mentally, we need to take care of our mind. What we look at, what we read, how we shape the mind. But most importantly, the rod through both is the Spirit of the living God. And He will impart that to you as a gift when you come to know Jesus Christ. That is the unspeakable gift of God. That He seals you and makes you an eternal child of God. Are you following this morning? Because if you are, then that's where joy emanates. I can be sick. Hey, last time this year, I was unfit and unable to be in this pulpit because I was recovering from open heart surgery. Now, I wasn't happy to be in that condition, but it did not steal my joy, because my joy emanates from who I am in Jesus Christ. He saved me. He sealed me. I'm His child. And my joy emanates from it. See, what if you were so sick, Pastor, from that you died? Well, then I'd go to heaven, wouldn't I? See, you cannot know that if you're not born again. Oh, I don't like that term, born again. Well, don't take it up with me. Don't get angry with me. You need to get angry with Jesus. Okay? Because John chapter 3 is all about being born again, right from the very lips of Christ Himself to the religious leader of the day, Nicodemus. So Nicodemus, listen, you must be born again. Why? Because that which is flesh, Nicodemus. And you remember Nicodemus was thinking on earthly terms, right? Fleshly terms. Hey, he's going like this. I can't understand this. How do I go back into my mother's womb and get born again? I could just see Jesus shaking his head. No. Let's go there just quickly, and I want you to go to John 16 immediately after that. John 3. Beautiful passage of Scripture. If you've never read this, you need to take the time to read what Jesus said to Nicodemus. In verse 5, Jesus says to Nicodemus, "Verily, verily," or "this is certain, for sure, I say unto thee, except the man be born of water and of the Spirit." You're all there. I still hear the rustling of those Bible leaves. I want you to be there. I want you to look at it for yourself. Jesus is saying this, not Pastor Pacino. "Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." Now, I know for a fact that all of you have been born of water. Every one of you. I believe the passage there is speaking about the physical birth. Anybody who's a mom, who's had a child, know that the child comes through the water. That's the physical. But then Jesus said, "and of the Spirit." And then he expounds to Nicodemus, "that which is born of the flesh is what? Flesh." And we tend to feed the flesh. And then you wonder why we don't have joy when the seed of joy is in you if you're saved, because you're not feeding it. Now, I know I'm preaching to the choir because you're here and you're feeding your soul, aren't you? But you know what? You need more than one meal a week. Some of you, that's all you get. Try doing that physically. Go home, have the best meal you can today, and don't eat till next week. Yeah, right. What's going to happen to you? By the middle of the week, you're going to be miserable. This is why it's so important. If you can schedule time immediately in the morning, I know that's hard for some, okay. Don't use that as an excuse. Spend some time in the day feeding your spirit. How do you feed your spirit? You feed your spirit on the bread of life. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life," came down from heaven. See, how is He the bread of life? That doesn't make any sense. We can't be involved in cannibalism. That's not what He's talking about. Go back to John chapter 1. I'll explain it. Well, I'm not going to explain it. Jesus is going to explain it. In chapter 1, it says, "In the beginning was the," what? What's that? Word. The Greek there is logos. "And the Word was with God, and the Word was God." The logos is a reference to Jesus Christ. Say, how do you know that? Okay, follow me. Okay? First of all, verse 3 expounds on it. "All things were made by Him." Okay? Only God can make something out of nothing. Amen? And so, we understand from that verse that it's talking about Jesus Christ. And we find as we go to other scriptures like Colossians and Philippians that God desired that His Son do the creative work. We go to verse 10. "He was in the world And the world was what? What's that next word? Made by him. And yet the world knew him not. He came unto his own, a prepared people, we call them the Hebrews, or the Jewish people, and his own received him not. You have to receive Christ to be saved. You have to know that you need this unspeakable gift. And for those of you who have, but you're not feeding that, how can you have joy? Because joy emanates from that seed that's planted in you by the Holy Spirit. But you've got to feed it. These flowers are a perfect illustration. They have to be watered, don't they? And I'm sure the, what is that, botanist? Is that what you call people take care of it?
Yeah.
I'm sure that they did what they had to do in the soil to nurture these beautiful poinsettias to where today they are beautiful. And your spirit can be like that. You say, oh no, Pat, you don't know what's going on in my life. My mom is sick and my dad has got problems and I have financial issues. You know what? That's not where true joy comes from. You're talking about your environment. You're talking about your circumstances. Going back to this where Jesus says in verse 12, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become what? Sons of God, or the word could be the children of God, even to them which believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Now verse 14 is very important. Okay? I said to you that the word in Greek is logos. Okay? In English, it is written, verse 14, and the word was made what?
Flesh.
Ooh. Jesus was made flesh. That's what Christmas is all about. And dwelt among us. And we beheld the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word was made flesh. Jesus Christ became man. That is the story of Christmas. That is the incarnation of God. He became flesh. He had a purpose for becoming flesh. And the disciples of the Lord Jesus were saddened when they heard what was going to happen to their rabbi, to their teacher. I want you to go to chapter 16, and I won't be long. I want you to go to chapter 16, and I want you to look at what Jesus says at this time. Now, I know this is not a traditional verse that we would look at Christmas time. Probably more appropriate for pre-Easter. But if we miss the fact that God sent His Son to be the Savior of the world, then we miss what the unspeakable gift is. We miss where that joy emanates from. In verse 16, Jesus says to the disciples, a little while and you shall not see me, and again a little while and you shall see me, because I go to the Father. Then said some of the disciples among themselves, what is this that He's saying to us, a little while and you shall not see me, and again a little while and shall see me. And because I go to the Father, they said, therefore, what is this that He saith? A little while. We cannot tell what He saith. I love that passage. Because I read the Bible sometimes, I say, I don't know what you're saying there. And you know what? Oftentimes I don't know what He's saying because I'm not looking at it in the Spirit, am I? I'm looking at it in the flesh. When I go, oh God, I want to understand your word. I want to feed my spirit today, but I don't understand this. I don't know what you're saying. And then that Holy Spirit that's in me will reveal truth. If you read the rest of chapter 16, that's exactly what Jesus says. And he goes, there's where your joy is going to come from. Because I'm never going to leave you. I'm never going to forsake you. I am always going to be with you. That's where true joy emanates. It's not that Christmas gets under the tree. Now, I'm not against any of that, okay? I think it's a wonderful time of the year. And Jesus said it's more blessed to give than receive. But if you're looking for happiness in a gift, some of you are going to be disappointed. I know I don't, because I get the same ugly ties every year, but that's okay. I'm just kidding. Yeah, love all those ties. Let's follow up quickly, and I want to let you go. Okay. They're confused. You kind of picked that up there, right? Now, Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him. Now, they didn't tell him, but he knew. Why? Because he's God. Do ye, or you, inquire among yourselves of what I said? A little while, you shall not see me. And again, a little while, and you shall see me. Now, listen carefully to what Jesus said. Again, there's that why. Verily, verily. This is certain. This is for sure. I say unto you, that you shall weep and lament, which was normal. They were going to lose a dear friend. And that was the normal thing to do. And he said, the world shall rejoice because they wanted him dead, right? Crucify him. Who should we set free? Pontius Pilate says, Jesus or Barabbas. They let the murderer go. And they consigned to death the one without sin, which is a perfect picture of what God has done for us. He paid for our sin, and he was not guilty of any. Now watch what Jesus says. This has got to happen. And you shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into, what's that next word?
Joy.
And I'm sure they didn't understand that. He says this explanation in a way that they can understand, and all of you can too. Listen to what he says. A woman, when she is in travail, okay, for those who don't understand what that means, when a woman is in labor, right? It's no fun, is it? No. My mom used to tell me that all the time. It was no fun bringing you into this world. I was almost born on the hospital steps. She said you were in a big hurry. Anyways. A woman, when she is in travail, it's painful, isn't it? You have sorrow. But her hour is come, but as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man or an individual is born into the world. Wow, what a perfect illustration. Yes, Jesus came in the flesh, and we celebrate that, but he ultimately came to die. If he just came and visited with us and did not atone for the sins of the world, then guess what? We would continue to be sorrowful people. But he came for a purpose. He says this, and you know now, or ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall, what's the next word?
Rejoice.
And your joy no man taketh from you. I pick this passage because that's exactly what's happening in the day which we live. The world is trying to take your joy away. Can't talk about Jesus. Don't say Merry Christmas. But our joy emanates from who we are in Him. I trust that you know that. Folks, our lives do not change, I understand, nor do our circumstances because it's Christmas time. Okay? I think some people who lack the Christmas joy are discouraged at Christmas because they look at their circumstances as being unhappy ones. Oh, we don't have enough money to buy this. We don't have enough food. We don't have this. We don't have that. And what are they placing their happiness in? Things. Not in the person of God's Son. And do you know that this time of the year is a difficult time of the year for many? And it's because of where the focus is. Numerous studies have confirmed that at this time of the year, there's an increase both in the number and the severity of calls by individuals that are very depressed during the holidays. A survey that was done a few years ago, when looking for people on the streets to discuss Christmas, and they asked people on the street, are you looking forward to Christmas this year? And while most answered yes, far too many of those individuals answered no. And there were a variety of answers. You know, Christmas reminds us of things. And sometimes It's the wrong things. Christmas reminds us of things that maybe we think ought to be, but are not. And we set ourselves up, don't we? We set ourselves up because the reality of the day was not that disillusion that you looked at for tomorrow. I'm looking forward to a great Christmas. I'm going to have a lot of money. The bonus is going to come through. I'm going to buy a lot of gifts. I'm going to have family. And when that doesn't happen, then we're not joyful, not finding true happiness. But if that's the case, that's not where joy emanates from. Will tomorrow the truth change that you're saved and going to heaven if you don't have enough money to buy Christmas presents? No. If I were to die today, regardless of whether I have planned a nice Christmas, I'm still going to be in heaven. Why? Because I'm a child of the King. Jesus said it. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be also. So let not your heart be troubled. We get a lot of people focusing on making it a great Christmas, and then when it doesn't come to be that kind of greatness that they conjured up in their mind, they're depressed. They're upset. Oh, Christmas didn't turn out the way I want. Christmas has already turned out the way God wants. Amen?
Amen?
The fact of the matter is we don't have enough people who are awoken to the truth. God reconciled a lost and dying world back to Himself. That's where joy emanates. We are going to be with God for all time and eternity in a place that He has prepared for us. Let your joy emanate from that. I still hope you have a nice Christmas, but we don't get to choose, do we? Do you think that last year I would have chose to be in the Danbury Hospital? No. I was hoping to enjoy Christmas. I told my wife, I really don't remember much about Christmas last year. But still, none of that robbed me of where joy comes from. I gotta close. I'm gonna let you go. I know it's been an eventful Sunday. But I don't want to close unless I tell you to beware of the joy busters. I'm convinced that a spirit of discontentment can rob many of us of that joy that's already there. Do you ever feel like you're just going through some joyless routine in life? If the truth were known, some of us are discontented with the way right now that our lives are going. Perhaps you don't have the job that you want. Perhaps you don't have that house you desire. Perhaps you don't even have the health that you want. But I'm here to tell you, you can still have joy. Because it doesn't come from those things. Sidney Harris wrote this, and I think it's a proverbial statement. It says, "The most miserable people that I have known have not been those who suffered from catastrophes which they could blame on fate or an accident or anything else, but those who had everything they wanted except the power to enjoy it," unquote. Wow. You have the power. You're a child of God. You have the power to enjoy. Even in the midst of times that are meek. It is appropriate that we speak of the sacrifice of Christ, the cross, at Christmas. Because Jesus came to die, to be the Savior of the world. You read it. The angel said, He's come to be the Savior. Have you been saved? God has already imparted unto us the greatest, unspeakable gift. Have you received it? It's free. Thursday night when I was trying to get Paul to understand, it's one thing to have the knowledge of God up here. It's another thing to receive it here. One's heart, one's soul, one's spirit. Somebody once said the greatest distance of the world is I think it's 18 inches between the brain and the human heart. Greatest distance. I use the illustration that if I had a $100 bill in my hand to Paul, I said, and I want to give you that, I hand that out to you, and you just start telling me all about a $100 bill. Well, it has Benjamin Franklin on it. Yeah, we call it a Benny, yeah. And we just talk about all the things we know about a $100 bill, and then you go your way, and you never receive it. What good has it done? There's a lot of people like that in the world. They know about God. They know about Jesus Christ. But they've never received Him. And therefore, they don't have the Holy Spirit where joy emanates from. I trust that all of you receive the gift of God's Holy Spirit. And those that are Christians, you'll feed it. So that joy will emanate from you in the times when things are meager, that things are not what you want them to be. As you leave this morning, my wife and I, we want to just share a little Christmas with you. And we have a package for every family. And I'd like to illustrate a truth from this little package. This is a magnet. And you know what a magnet does? It sticks and doesn't let go. And that's like Jesus, isn't it? I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. And on this magnet, it has a scripture from the bread of life, the Logos, the Word, Jesus. We're to feed on that. So feed on the Word of God every day. And so we hope that you enjoy that. Put that somewhere where you can be reminded that you need to feed your spirit every day. And then we're going to come back Wednesday night, and we're going to celebrate Jesus as the light of the world. And so we have a beautiful Christmas candle for each family. And the candle speaks of the light of God. And then, of course, the one that I like the most is the sweets. Because Jesus is the sweetest name I know. And so we have some gourmet fudge that's individually wrapped, and a mint, and the candy cane. And the candy cane reminds us of God is our shepherd. It's like the staff. And the white on the candy cane speaks of the purity of the body of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Without that purity, you would not be saved. And the red speaks of the fact He shed His blood that you and I would be saved. I hope you've come to that. Let's pray. Father, I've done my best. Now I leave the rest to the Holy Spirit. But Lord, I truly don't want anyone to leave here without having the greatest gift they could ever have. The gift of Yourself. The indwelling Holy Spirit. Given because Christ came in the flesh, died and rose again from the dead to save us from our sin. Father, I pray You will give anyone who is lost this unspeakable gift because they are receiving it today by faith. May they know. For by grace are they saved through faith. It's not of oneself. It is a gift of God. Lest any man should boast. Bless these good folks. Give them a great week, Father. Great week with their families. And if possible, Lord, bring them back so we celebrate one more time the birth of Christ on Christmas Eve here in our church. Thank You and praise You. Amen. Let's take our songbook. And again, I invite at least one member of the family to come through the doors. My wife and I want to give a Christmas card that has a personal note from me to you and a little package. Yeah. Take our songbook and stand as we sing 214. And I also want to close our time with, again, a prayer for Irene. They have to use the book on this, okay. You will need to use your hymn book. We talked about joy and rejoicing. We want to close with good Christian men, rejoice! Thank you. Dismiss us with your blessing. In Christ's name, amen.